let me in.
Shiba, shiba.
I want to be closer to you.
Shiba, shiba.
Open up your soul.
Shiba, shiba.
Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There is so much to be enjoyed right now, and we are going to allow you to enjoy it just as soon as we can. But before we do that, let's listen to a little bit of Billy Paul.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever spinning. Like a snowball down a mountain on the carnival balloon, like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of his face. And the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmill of your mind, like a tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of your own. Down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream, like the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream. like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of his face, and the world is like an ever-whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. Is that jingle in your pocket? Where's that jingle in your head? Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Lovers walk along a shore and leave their footprints in the sand. Is the sound of distant drumming just the fingers of your hand? Pictures hanging in a hallway, and the fragments of a song have remembered names and faces, but to whom do they belong? When you knew that it was over, you were suddenly aware that the autumn leaves were turning to color of your hair, like a circle in a spiral, like a weave. Never-ending or beginning or an ever-spinning wheel as the images unwind like the circles that you find. In the windmills of your you.
conveniently rhymes with that other word, pain. Skip through the days with me, sing life's cliches with me, kicking through puddles torrentially trembling. I'm sinking like pennies long lost to youth's fountain. I am heavy and slow. Lift me up with your smiling face.
J'ai allumé le feu mes chagrins, mes plaisirs. Je n'ai plus besoin de balayer mes amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours. Je repars à zéro. Non.
We started off the hour with Billy Paul and Windmills of Your Mind. That's from Ebony Woman. The Rosin Coven and Peacock Aria from Sing Me Malaise. And that song, that version of Non, Rien, De Rien, my French isn't very good, is Natalie Lhermitte, who will be performing in the show Piaf, the show at the Herbst Theater next Monday. Yeah, so that's something you're going to want to check out. We were going to talk to her, but she's in the midst of a show. So, you know, we do what we can. But let's listen to another track. This is La Vie en Rose.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche. Voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, qu'il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. D'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur, une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, en moi, mon cœur qui bat. Des nuits d'amour à plus finir, un grand bonheur qui prend sa place, les ennuis, les chagrins s'effacent, heureux à en mourir. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, qu'il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il m'a dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur, une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. Vie. je sens en moi mon cœur qui bat.
Friends for a long, long time. We've shared again and again. We like the same clothes and we like the same wine. And we have similar tastes in men. Now we've found one man and we can share him too. For I will love him first. And what is left, I give to you. You have charms just as much as I. You match me curve for curve. We've got the same wink from the very same guy. But remember, first come, first serve. Après moi, you can tell him that his eyes are the color of the sea. Only après moi means you tell him after me, after me, after me.
You know how much I love Eartha Kitt. That's après moi. I love it from the fabulous Eartha Kitt. You know who else is fabulous? Auntie Mame. And you know who's fabulous? The person playing Mame. I'd like to welcome Cindy Goldfield. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm all right. So aside from a little bit of hoarseness, I'm doing great. How about you?
It just sounds sexy. You know, that sexy hoarseness. That bourbon morning voice.
So when I saw that you had been...
I have a touch of that myself.
Because of the bourbon...
not because of the bourbon, just because of the rehearsals.
But
we just had tech weekend, so we were long days.
I'm sure.
Long nights.
I am sure. When does the show open?
Officially opens on Saturday the 4th. We have two preview performances before that on Thursday and Friday, but Saturday the 4th, less than a week.
Okay.
5 days from now is our official opening.
So when I saw that you, because I was looking at the roster, you know, they send out the press release, and then I saw your picture, and I was like, oh my God, she's perfect for Mame. So for our listening audience, for the five people who haven't seen Mame, give us the rundown. Tell us about the show.
The thumbnail sketch.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because when I grew up without television, so I don't have that sort of cultural basic knowledge that most people who stayed home and watched old movies on television got.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was, getting ready to work on this show, I knew the sort of bare bones, you know, little boy and his crazy aunt, or I knew the version of these songs through the drag community in San Francisco, particularly Matthew Martin singing Bosom Buddies. So that was my first view of it. But basically, it's a story of, you know, belonging, a story of family, a story of, you know, how we embrace family in all of its varieties and, you know, live life to the fullest.
Well, the nice thing about not having seen it is that you could actually approach the role not being intimidated by it because, you know, it's so iconic that people would be intimidated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It does help quite a bit. And instead of, you know, I briefly watched the Lucille Ball version of the movie of Mame before the auditions, just so I would sort of know, you know, what ballpark we were playing in. But then when I was preparing to go into rehearsals, the first thing I did was read the source material, the two books written by Patrick Dennis.
Yes.
You know, the character of the little boy in it. He wrote two hilarious, funny books about this character, his Auntie Bame, mm-hmm. and her adventures. And it was really fun to start with, you know, the actual source material. They were written in the 50s, mm-hmm. so they definitely have a period sensibility about them, but they're frothy and fun, and it was a really fresh way to sort of come at it rather than, you know, having Rosalind Russell mm-hmm. imprinted on my brain.
Right.
Even though some of that stuff, I think you just gain from being around the world of, you know, hearing those things go through your head, that arch comedy.
So you're doing the musical version, but how different mm-hmm. is the musical version from not just the movie, but from the source material? Because I've read the book, and I know how different the movie is from the book.
But. Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, the first book is Auntie Mame, mm-hmm. and then the second book is Travels with My Aunt, and it basically takes a year when the character of Patrick was, like, before he went to college, mm-hmm. and they traveled around the world, and each one of those chapters is, like, a country they visited and the wacky adventures that she had.
Oh, okay.
But the first book is really closer to the timeline of the script of the play and the musical.
Okay.
And there are definitely some things that are pulled directly from the books and some things that they sort of, you know, squished timelines in order to make it fit into a 2.5-hour musical rather than, you know, a novel. But it's pretty close. The character of the nanny has been sort of an amalgamation of two different characters in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, most of the characters are pretty true to, you know, pretty true to the source material.
Okay.
And then there's fun little pieces, like there's one joke that Vera and Mame, Vera's her best friend, and Mame says something about, you know, of all the men we've both dated and we still stay inseparable friends. And Vera says, we never dated the same people. And Mame says, what about Carlo, the sexy Argentinian with the shoulders? And Vera says, I never dated Carlo. I married him. I didn't date him. And that little character of Carlo, the Argentinian, mm-hmm. is actually from a whole chapter of when they were in Spain, and Mame was totally in love with this guy, and then this terrible guy was in love with Vera, and Mame did this whole, you know, wacky adventure to try and get the bad guy away from her best friend,
uh-huh.
but she didn't tell everybody what she was doing, and so the boy she was in love with and Vera were sort of thrown together moping because their best friend had stolen the other boyfriend, and they ended up getting married. So that little chunk, this one little line refers to something that actually happens in another of the books, but for the most part, if you read the first book, the musical is pretty much in alignment with that.
Well, that story you just told makes me want to read the second book. So tell me.
I know. It's really fun.
So who are the other, who are inhabiting the roles? Who's Vera? Who's Patrick? Who's Ito? Who are all these, what actors are doing all of these?
Gotcha. I'm going to pull up a list just so I make sure I don't say people's names wrong.
Uh-huh.
But, Agnes is played by Elise Youssef,
mm-hmm.
and Ito is played by Nick Ishimaro, who also is part of the Moon casting team. Really interesting guy, fun guy. Mark Farrell is in it, who's very funny,
mm-hmm.
and he plays the best friend, the book publisher.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His name is Lindsay Woolsey, which mm-hmm. we kind of love because Lindsay Woolsey is a type of fabric that is known for its durability and its steadiness.
Uh-huh.
And so here's this character who is her best friend who plays that. and he also plays a couple other parts. a guy named Joey, and again, I'm blanking on people's last names because here's the morning brain. And Elizabeth, I want to say Jackson, but I don't know if that's right, so I'm looking it up. Plays Vera, and she's lovely and funny. And then a whole roster of really great singers, dancers, character actors who are just, I mean, killing it, playing millions of characters. And, oh, here we go. Here, so Joseph Alvarado is playing Bo, who's the love interest. And Jesse Caldwell is playing Mr. Babcock, the evil trustee who's always trying to tell people what to do.
Sure.
This great kid named Azzy David is playing young Patrick. And then the older Patrick is played by Kurt Tiamo, who is this young, like, up-and-coming opera star who's just fabulous. And then Tanya Johnson's in it. Yeah, just a bunch of really lovely people.
Well, let me ask you this. How long have you been acting?
I've been performing pretty much my whole life.
When did it start? When you were a kid or adult?
I was a ballet dancer when I was really little.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, always was instigating theatrical events. I remember in second grade, I wrote, produced, and starred in a production of The Tooth Fairy.
Okay.
That I made all my classmates be in.
Uh-huh.
And my dad built all the sets out of cardboard and carved me a little wooden tooth to be the hero prop item. And I basically asked my teacher for the time to present this production. And
what was the story arc?
Quite young.
What was the story arc? I'm curious.
You know, a professional actor for 30 years or something.
Well, I'm curious. So you wrote this story, The Tooth Fairy. So what was the plot?
You're asking me to remember something that happened.
Well, it was your first starring role,
which is 50-something years ago.
It was your first starring role.
I think it was your basic, somebody lost their tooth, and the tooth fairy came and gave them money.
Okay.
I don't think there was huge drama in it.
Okay. And do you remember the first show you did where you thought, I've made it, I'm officially an actor?
Huh. I do remember a really formative moment when I did my first show in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And during curtain call, I had a really strong, like, deja vu, out of body moment.
Uh-huh.
It was like in the middle of curtain call, and it felt like time stopped and then swirled around you. And then it was just a really strong moment of, you've done this for a million years, and this is what you'll do for a million years. So that felt kind of, you know, important. And I think, you know, getting a paycheck for doing the work also makes you feel like you're a real person.
Right.
You've really...
Yes, getting paid. Getting paid does make you feel professional.
Yeah.
And
it's a concrete thing, right? Of,
right,
like, this energetic exchange of, I do this thing and you give me a token of your appreciation for the work I do.
Yes, and it's usually a token when you're an actor, you know. But, you know, if you...
Yes, it is.
But if you're...
It is absolutely a token.
Yes. But if you're...
It's a token.
Yeah, but if you're fortunate, you can cobble those tokens together to actually pay your rent. So, you know, there's always
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So I don't...
It is always a cobbling.
Yeah.
You know, I direct and choreograph and occasionally work the wig crew at ACT, and I do a lot of things within the theatrical realm to cobble together those tokens.
Is there any place in the world where it's like people can actually make a living as actors? I mean,
yes,
everybody can make it.
Everywhere but the U.S.
Oh, okay. Because I was like...
You know, the United States is one of the few countries that does not have state-supported theater.
Right.
You know, most places, or at least most places in the Western world that I know of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And parts of the you know, the Eastern, Far East, Japan, etc., have state-supported theater, and artists are supported as a valued part of the makeup of a community.
Right.
The United States, not so much.
Well, on that dour note, let's talk about something more upbeat, which is when the show opens and where it's playing and how long it will run.
Great. I will do that. So we start previews this Thursday and Friday, mm-hmm. which is the 2nd and 3rd. And then official opening night is on the 4th, Saturday the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And then it runs Wednesdays through Sundays through November 19th. It's at the Gateway Theater, which is at 215 Jackson Street. And the theater company is 42nd Street Moon. And you can find it at 42ndstmoon.org.
And if people want to know more about what you personally are doing and want to follow your career, how do they go about doing that?
Well, they can. I'm terrible at doing social media, so I'm just going to admit that right out loud. But you can find me almost anywhere. You can just Google Cindy Goldfield. You can find me through my own personal website, cindygoldfield.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me through my sideline business catering job work at marthaavenuefood.com, or you can just email me at cindygoldfield@gmail.com.
All right. Well, Cindy Goldfield, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and I look forward
thank
to seeing
so much,
the show.
Alan.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. Go check out MAME. It's happening at 42nd Street Moon. You're going to enjoy it. That was Gil Evans and Boogie Stop Shuffle, Rough and the Smooth. That is from the Absolute Beginners soundtrack. Speaking of soundtracks, the library that did launched Bay Beats, and you can listen to Bay Beats stuff. We'll probably bring that up because it's the last Monday of the month, and I've got my Librarianistas du jour, and you're so very fortunate to have a fabulous and thriving library system in San Francisco. I'd like to welcome Librarianistas Doreen Horstin and Andrea Yeager. Welcome.
Thank Hello, you. Marilyn. How? Great to be back on the show.
That's great to have the two of you. So we're going to start with Doreen. Tell me what department you're in and what you do. And Andrea, tell our audience what department you're in. But Doreen, go first.
Okay. I'm a children's librarian and branch manager at the Park Branch Library. That's the one on Page Street in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood.
Okay. And Andrea?
I'm a children's librarian at the Merced Branch Library, 155 Winston Drive, right across from Stonestown Mall.
Oh, okay. All right. So did the two of you ever put your heads together to determine what to do with the kids of today?
We do. We have monthly meetings. So we see each other, we talk to each other, and Andrea and I have both been in the system for quite a few years. So we've had many conversations about what to do and sharing ideas.
Okay. Well, so the month of, tomorrow's Halloween, and then the month of November is looming before us. So why don't you two tell me a little bit about what you've got planned for the kids?
Okay. Who wants to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. All right.
Stepped right into that one.
Okay. Right. So, in November, we are celebrating First People. So that's indigenous cultures here, mostly in North America. And we have a lot of great programming around that for adults, teens, and kids. Park Branch has quite a few interesting programs. We've got, on the Wednesday, the 8th of November at 5 p.m., we'll be showing the film Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World. And this is a documentary about the Native influence in American popular music. So I know for your listening audience, if you're already listening to KPOO, we know you have great taste in music. This is not to be missed. It's one of those documentaries that will make you want to jump out of your chair and applaud because the music is so good. And that is showing Wednesday, November 8th at the Park Branch. It's showing again at the Thursday noon films at the Corette Auditorium at the Main. So if you can't make it on Wednesday the 8th, you can catch it later in the month down at the Main Library. And then on November 18th, we're going to have a workshop for all ages, kids, older kids, families. This is going to be about the Navajo Code Talkers. So we're going to read a biography about Chester Nez, one of the Code Talkers. It's in picture book format. And then we're going to play a clip of one of the Code Talkers saying something in Navajo Code and then translating and explaining that. And then we're going to make pocket code books. So there's a little craft component to that.
Before we move forward, you're going to need to tell our listening audience what the Code Talkers were, because I don't think everyone knows.
Okay. So the Code Talkers were, they participated in World War II in the Pacific Theater. So at the time, you know, they used codes to communicate over the radio, and Japan had really good code breakers. And so we were unable to talk to each other because they kept breaking the code. And so they used, they had Morse code and they could send it electronically, but it would take 30 minutes to translate that because it was encrypted. And in a battle situation, you don't have 30 minutes.
Right.
You know, you need to be able to communicate immediately and get instant response. So they developed a code in their language that nobody could decipher because outside of the United States, nobody was familiar with this language. And it was a double code. So it was in the Navajo language. And then even when they translated it to English, the words meant other things. So even if you translated it literally into English, it still didn't make sense. So it was, it had that double security. And these guys, they were, some of them were really young. We're talking 18, 19, 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
They developed the code, and then they were sent overseas to fight in the Pacific Theater, so all those islands in the Pacific. And they were relaying these messages, you know, in the trenches, the bullets were flying over their heads. And they really are credited with our success in the Pacific.
Wow.
And then when they came back home, they couldn't talk about the code because it was classified. It wasn't until the 60s that the government declassified it, and these men finally got the recognition that they deserved for their role. So it's an incredible true story, and you know, we're going to learn about that, and then we'll do a little bookbinding craft where we make pocket code books, and that's going to be on Saturday, November 18th at the Park Branch, and you can call us at 355-5656 to sign up. There's no limit. We just need to know how many craft supplies to buy.
Sure.
It's open to everybody.
And
we hope to see you down there. And then we are also having a beading class for adults.
Uh-huh.
And that is happening, where is that? I believe it's the 4th of November. We're going to have a Native American beading expert named Callery Roanhorse. She's going to do a class. That's for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And that one you definitely need to call and sign up.
Has she done that beading course before? Didn't she do that like last year or something?
Yes, and she's been hosted all throughout the system. She's very popular. Several branches are hosting her this time around. So if you can't make it to Park Branch, just check our events calendar because she is doing her classes at other locations as well.
Okay.
She's popular too. So if that's something that interests you, you know, find your nearest local branch and give them a call and sign up.
Okay. Well, Andrea, do you want to chime in about stuff that you've got going on?
Absolutely. You know, I've been poring over the ATL, looking at all of the programs at all of the branches in the Maine, and it's pretty amazing. Every single day, there's something really exciting to do. At our library in November, we focus on young children in our programming. So second Tuesdays, we do a mini makers program at 11 a.m. This month, we're going to focus on making coffee filter butterflies. And then on the 12th of November, Sunday the 12th at 3 o'clock, we're celebrating Viva, Latinx History Month, with local Bay Area artist Rachel Ann Palacios. She's going to teach us how to make unique bookmarks out of tin art.
Oh, wow. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go on.
No, it's there's just so much, and it's really exciting to do all the programming. And the rest of November, we're going to do a few other crafts. On November 21st, a Tuesday at 2 o'clock, we're going to paint rocks and celebrate what we're grateful for. And then on Wednesday, November 29th at 2 o'clock, we're going to make luminaries. So celebrating autumn by making luminaries with electric candles in them.
What are luminaries? I've always heard it in conjunction with people, but what are luminaries that you're making?
Oh, like a lantern. You know how a lot of
make
lanterns for fall or autumn. I'm just calling them luminaries as, you know, a different sort of craft.
Got it.
So illuminate the darkness.
I understand. So, between the two of you, is there anything special happening on Halloween proper and for Dia de los Muertos?
Well, I can answer that. Park Branch is open till 8 p.m. on Halloween night, and yes, we will have candy.
Oh, yay! Because that's always that's all you care about is the candy.
Yeah, so we've got the decorations up. I'll be there that night. We're really hoping that we get some trick-or-treaters in their costumes. So between 5 and 8 p.m., we'll be giving out candy to trick-or-treaters. And, you know, the Park Branch is on Page Street, which is a slow street. So it's pedestrian-friendly. So we hope you know, we see the community out there trick-or-treating. So, you know, if you're in the neighborhood, come on down. We'll be ready.
Okay, okay. And how about Dia de los Muertos?
Oh, are you still asking me? Oh, so
yeah.
We have an altar set up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In our children's room. We've got, you know, people who have been donating photos of their loved ones. And, it looks amazing. It's gorgeous. We've got our Dia de los Muertos books on display, our holiday books, as well as our Halloween books.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Andrea can talk about that as well. We have a ton of these holiday books that are coming out because this is the season. You know, we've got Halloween, Dia de los Muertos. Then we've got Thanksgiving. Then we've got Christmas, Hanukkah, Chinese New Year. We've got Kwanzaa. So it's like the next 3 months, you're going to see all these books coming out of storage and being put on display. And, you know, it's very cozy to, like, celebrate the holidays with those special picture books that you can enjoy with your family.
Right. Well, that brings to mind for the parents or the people who have children in their lives and they know they love books, what can you offer them as a way to figure out what kind of books to get for their kids?
Okay. Andrea, do you want to answer that one? I feel like I'm
sure,
talking so
I think
much.
That one of the things that librarians do best is curate book lists.
Mm-hmm.
So on our website and then in the branches, we just have great displays of books. We have wonderful book lists all over the place. I don't have one in front of me, but we also do sort of a curated book list for patrons that walk up. We were doing it during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and I forget what the program was called, but we would ask some questions of you and then would curate a little book list for you.
Okay.
Do you remember doing that, Doreen?
I do remember that. I think it had a cute name like Book Boutique or something like that. But I remember, and especially we had that with teachers, where they would call and they would say, well, you know, we're doing a unit on, you know, something, and can you put together a selection of books? And this was when we were doing the front door checkout. Remember those days where you had to come and you would just come to the front door and we'd hand you your books? So we would have like shopping bags full of books that we would hand over to instructors. And then one instructor, she was amazing. She would meet her class in a parking lot, you know, outdoors,
because
we still were very concerned about COVID. And then she would distribute the books to the kids.
Oh.
And that's how she was doing these different units in her classroom, in her Zoom classroom. But she would actually meet them somewhere in public, in person, to make sure they had library books. And so, you know, inside the library, we would do things like go around and just select a bunch of things and get them ready.
Oh, that just sounds amazing and wonderful. And I was just at the library, and I can attest to for all our listeners that there are these bookmarks all over the place with like a little theme and then a list of books. And I grabbed a couple. I was like, oh, I want to read all of these. So that's pretty awesome. So we're just about out of time. So I want to just once again give a big shout out to the library because you guys are great. And do you guys know anything about Babe Eats for our listening audience?
What did you say?
Babe Eats. Mm-hmm. You guys launched the local artists' musical. I guess it's your library radio or, you know, library streaming.
Oh yeah, that was this weekend. They just had the big launch party.
Yeah.
Down to Maine.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity for local talent to get some airplay and get some recognition. And, you know, this is something I've been around for a little while, so I'm not going to say how long, but we were talking about this for a while. I'm just so glad that they figured out a way to do it because there's a lot of talented musicians in the Bay Area and in San Francisco. And I feel like because it's expensive, it's hard for people to get that studio space.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a struggle when you're an artist. So this is a way that the library's kind of stepped up to help with that.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, we are completely out of time now. So Andrea and Doreen, I want to thank you both, not just for being on the show, but for being fabulous librarians and doing what you do.
Thank you, Marilyn.
All right.
It's great to be on here with you.
Yay! People of Earth, books, libraries, fabulous. Enjoy them. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
The concert was over in Carnegie Hall. The maestro took bow after bow. He said, my dear friends, I have given my all. I'm sorry, it's all over now. When from the bow